This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Ukraine crisis. George Friedman, the founder and chairman of Geopolitical Futures, looking at the map around the Black Sea and the change of leadership in the European Union, in NATO, in the whole region called Asia Minor during Ukraine conflict. The fog of war has descended on Ukraine, but not so much members of NATO. George, a very good evening to you. Your essay this week points to two members of NATO who are gaining in significant prominence in the conversation about what comes next. The first is Turkey, led by the very strong president, Mr. Erdogan, who has been over the last decade an Islamist, a neo-Ottomanist, a rejectionist, certainly a man who acted quite uncontrollably towards Israel, and then a change of direction. Is this change of direction recently? What is the significance of Turkey getting involved with its fleet in the Black Sea following the sinking of Moskva? Good evening to you, George.
Good evening. Turkey has been balancing between the United States and Russia for quite a while. It's angry at the United States for various reasons. It's suddenly discovered that Russia is not what it appeared to be. This is no superpower. It's not something that Turkey can hang on to. So the Turks have done some interesting things. One very important thing that they've done is that they sent a substantial number of ships into the Black Sea. The U.S. can't do that because of various regulations and laws. They did. Now, what's important in this is came right after the explosion on Moskva, the ship that was sunk, the Russian ship that was sunk. And if the Russians were to attack any Turkish ship, they'd be attacking NATO. Okay, so that is an automatic all-in, because there's a treaty in NATO that if somebody attacks you during a war, you have to be defended. So the Russians can't really take them on. And sort of things are closing in on them. They're getting successful in some of the battles, but the political structure is really turning in on them.
Is it significant that we're told the son-in-law of Mr. Erdogan produces the drone weapons that have been highlighted several times in these last weeks? Is that Turkey showing a favor?
Well, these are very, very good drones. And they're being bought by many countries. And they've been provided to Ukraine as one of them. And these drones are both very good in reconnaissance work and actually explosive work. So the fact that the Erdogan family owns it should not surprise us. In Turkey, those rules are
right,
flexible. But these are good drones, no kidding.
If Turkey is gaining in authority, where is it gaining in authority? You've mentioned NATO. How about the South Caucasus? You know Turkey got involved, deeply involved, personally involved in the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict recently. There's supposed to be a ceasefire with Russian peacekeepers, but it's Turkey, Azerbaijan versus Armenia and Russia. Does Turkey now outweigh Russia in this confrontation?
Turkey got badly embarrassed by the Russians in the South Caucasus. It was the one that was trying to create negotiations and so on, was arming the Armenians, playing a game. The Russians came in, overstepped them in negotiations, and sent thousands of peacekeepers to calm the situation, as they put it. So it was a situation where Turkey was forced out. And these are one of the things that Turkey is very angry at Russia and has been. It's been very difficult to work with for the Russians and the Americans. But that situation is very important because it's the southern border of Russia. And the southern border of Russia, historically, over the centuries, has had invasion after invasion by the Turks. Now, the Turks are angry. The southern border is open, sort of. And it's another one of the areas where the Russians thought they had settled things down, and they hadn't. Everything popped up again.
Another member of NATO that, in your article, you point to having gained authority is Poland. George, if there's a country that has a motive for revenge, it's Poland. Is that coming out now from President Duda and from the military?
Well, they're eager to get in. They're being held back by the Americans. But remember, the Americans sent the 82nd Airborne into Poland. And long before this, we've had armor in Poland. Poland is the eastern front of NATO. It is what Germany was during the Cold War. And the United States is heavily committed to them. And that gives Poland huge weight in the European system. Now, something very odd. Poland was about to be expelled from the EU because of its legal system. Well, given the strength that it's shown, it's leading Europe in a lot of ways. And Germany is trying to figure out how to live in a world where Poland is more influential.
And so what we're looking at is Poland being promoted as Turkey's being promoted within NATO. Now, there's a changing map, George. I just want to tuck into this debate in Finland and Sweden about joining NATO. Does that improve NATO's authority? Does that help Poland? Because it would have a left flank that Russia doesn't have an answer to.
From a military point of view, it creates liabilities. It creates for NATO a few 800 miles of border with Russia to deal with. From a political point of view, it's a stunning reversal because these countries all through the Cold War were neutral, Sweden and Finland. Their shift at this point points to a very dangerous place for the Russians because that is a line of attack that they don't want to see. So what's happened is tactically inside of Ukraine, they've done better, but strategically the moves that are being made around it are very dangerous for the Russians.
China, you also mentioned in your essay about small wars, it's a small war if somebody else is struggling. It's a big war if it's yours. China, losing authority. How so, George?
Well, it's in the middle of an enormous economic crisis. It's an enormous economic crisis that was inevitable because it was growing way too fast to sustain itself. But now it's hit, and it's hitting very hard. They're giving numbers of what's going to be in the future, but it's not clear. Secondly, they made an alliance with the Russians with the expectations that Russia and China together could outweigh the United States. They've found that the Russians are a paper tiger, to put it in their terms, and they're linked to them. They can't back off them just because they got into trouble. On the other hand, they feel very vulnerable to the United States. The United States is his biggest customer still, and China, with its economic problems, can't survive without the American market. So it's in a very difficult position, and the internal politics are very strange.
And the relationship with Russia, is that durable? Can we tell?
It never had any substance, really, because the Chinese were not about to be able to support Soviets militarily. Their ground forces aren't suited for that. Russians don't have a navy worth and defending China, and China has a naval problem. In terms of trade, they're very happy to sell, to buy fuel from the Russians. So it was kind of a paper relationship, but now it's an embarrassing one because it really shows the Chinese backing away quietly from the Russians. And that's another blow to the Russians, which is that rather than being one of the great powers of the region, it's a weak link and a liability.
Final concern, just a minute left, George. India, on the fence, Russian equipment, and yet a member of the Quad leaning towards the Indo-Pacific authority around China. Does India have a win or lose on this moment?
Well, the Russian issue is not nearly as important as the Chinese. They fight with the Chinese in the Himalayas constantly, and it's a very dangerous situation for them. They buy Russian weapons, they buy American weapons, but they don't trust the Americans because there's a long history of the Americans not wanting to deal with them because it would enrage other powers in the region. So it can shift, but it'd be much happier to have Russia balancing the United States. And this is the key to this. There are countries that want Russia or China to balance with the United States, and that balance has fallen, and they don't quite know what to do.
George Friedman, the founder and chairman of Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site I recommend. I'm John Batchelor.